The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
Yes, last week on the bookshelf, Martin Beans Ward, the theatre maker and television presenter, placed Kinahan Assassins by Stephen Breen and John Hand up on the bookshelf. This week, it is the turn of Gordon Darcy, former Irish international, of course, author himself, and his latest book with Paul Howard is with me here. Before we talk about that, because this is kind of a new iteration of what you've been doing. This is different maybe from the Gordon's Game series to a degree, but we'll get to it in a moment. Was this a difficult task to pick a single book?
It was.
To place up on the bookshelf.
It was. Mostly because I have three young kids. I've a job and a couple of external jobs that keep me really busy. So actually how much I've read in the last while, probably not as much as I would like it. I'm probably reading chapters of books and getting very, very slowly through them. You know, I suppose when the opportunity for me is do I sit down and read a book or do I go to the gym or go to a bike?
Yeah.
Probably the bit of exercise wins out. Do you know what? But it was enjoyable because I've gone back and thought about books that I've really enjoyed and didn't kind of think about, okay, the last 12 months, but kind of really, I suppose, since I got a love of reading.
Mm. When did you get your love of reading?
Probably in directly related to my English teacher in school in fifth year. We had a bit of a, I suppose he would have classified me as a bit of a messer, and eventually the penny dropped, as often does with young boys at around the age of 16, 17, going to his exams on the horizon. And I actually challenged him to help me, you know, let's move English. I actually am interested in this. And he gave me some great books to read and I suppose gave me an awful lot of feedback and on how I was writing and things like that. So love of reading and writing probably around that.
The books he was giving you to read, were these books on the curriculum or were there other books he brought in and said, you know what, read this as well, it'll kind of kindle something in you?
I think it was just to start with the actual books that were coming up.
What were they? Can you remember what you did for the Leaving Cert?
Oh, I think Silas Marner was definitely in there. The Hobbit, that might have been the Junior Cert. They were definitely on that. But I remember, oh my God, and The One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest.
Yeah.
I was definitely one that was he recommended to me. But I think more than him actually saying recommending things, I find with people who are good influences, positive influences on your life, they genuinely just question what you're doing a little bit and help you to get positive answers from it. And I'd say that's probably what Jerry Lynch would have done for me.
Well, I'll tell you what then, before we get to the kind of the main book that you're going to put up there, because you mentioned The Hobbit, which was on the Junior Cert cycle, all right.
Yeah.
We didn't do it. And I'll never forgive my English teacher in Junior Cert. We did a second Shakespearean play as our novel.
Oh,
yeah,
harsh.
I know. Isn't that tough going?
It's really hard,
isn't it? Anyway, The Hobbit we didn't read, but Lord of the Rings you wanted to mention.
Yeah.
And you're not the first. So this has been mentioned by Michael McDowell, Richard Boy Barrett and Hazel Chu have all brought this up as well.
Yeah.
So a big book in a lot of people's lives.
Yeah, and I think it's a feat of perseverance just to get through it.
Yeah.
You know, you read The Hobbit and you're like, oh, that wasn't too bad. And then you look at the Lord of the Rings and you're just like, it's a substantial piece of work. So when there was less distractions in summers in Wexford with a lot of time to kill, eventually kind of got through it. But I've probably gone back to it maybe four or five times.
Really? From start to finish?
Yeah. And every time you read it, there's just something different in it. And that's what I really like about the characters are always the same in my head and the kind of mind's eye of who they are and what they are. They haven't changed, but just the background and the focus in the story changes a lot as you go through. And I suppose that's a good sign of it. That's a sign of any good book.
Did it cause you then to try and read around it? You know, like the Silmarillion or all these other Tolkien books, or were you content with just Lord of the Rings?
Kind of content with that. And then I'd say probably professional sport kicked in.
Yeah.
And I got a little bit distracted.
Were you fans of the movies when they came out?
Yeah. Like would have been big fans of them. And enjoyed them, but probably wouldn't watch them in the same way. If I had to pick now between going back and reading the book, would I watch the movies again? Like the movies kind of, maybe they create something for you, in you, maybe what you might have had, and then it maybe clears a picture for you in your head. But no, I think just the reading of it probably more appealing at this stage.
And would you do? You, are you a listener of audiobooks at all? The reason I ask is I'm actually listening. Andy Serkis narrates the Lord of the Rings audiobook on Spotify, which I'm listening to at the moment.
Again,
my commutes.
My kids, I've started my kids onto it, and they're all on the Harry Potter.
Oh yes,
thing. And it's a great, it's a great way.
We went through Harry Potter in the car as well when we were in it with the kids. I said, just listen to this, brilliant.
They love it.
So beats them playing the Two Johnnies or something. Jesus.
Complete. Well, my kids aren't getting a choice on what they're listening to at this point. But the again, just that time poor piece, and you have to pick where you're going. So if I'm listening to something, I listen to one podcast, and that's pretty much all the time I have. The socially distant sports bar. It's basically three Welsh comedians, all loosely sports based humor, and
the socially distant sports bar. Okay.
So when I'm on the bike and I'm out for spins, 3 hour pulls, or long, you know, mindless zone two stuff in the side passage, I'll stick that on.
Okay. Well, listen, that brings us then to your favorite book. So Lord of the Rings, honorable mention. But what book are you putting up on the bookshelf?
Well, I think probably something that is reasonably recent was the Andre Agassi, his autobiography. And I just remember reading it and going, I really wish I had read this when I was playing, or if it was around when I was still playing, but definitely had read it earlier when I retired.
Why?
I think a lot of the questions he asks himself, a lot of sports people will ask themselves at various different points in their career. You know, do they like the sport they're playing? I think every high performing athlete will have fallen out with their sport at some point.
Did you?
Absolutely.
At what points?
There's times when it's hard. You know, it's not like a one way. It's not a one-way traffic system where you only get to enjoy the good teams, good parts of it. I'm very lucky in my career. We won a lot of trophies, but didn't win a trophy for 11 years.
Yeah.
The first 11 years of my career, or 11 seasons, there was no trophy, and there wasn't a sniff of a trophy. Closest we got was being humiliated by Munster in Lansdowne Road when it was, inverted commas, our year. So, you know, sometimes you just question, why am I doing this? Pressure gets to you. Everything, yeah. And then you have to fall back in love with it, if you can. My road to Damascus moment for me was when I broke my arm and having a very frank conversation with a surgeon and him saying, listen, if this operation, the third of three operations, if this one doesn't work, you'll have to wrap it up. And I suppose having to deal with your physical mortality at quite a young age, and even retiring at 35, you have to deal with your physical mortality, and that, you know, life begins again.
Yeah.
And I think Agassi struggles with that at various different points, the relationships that he has in his life, and how he finds balance and finally finds meaning in life outside of sports. So the thing he hated was also the thing that gave him the most purpose in life.
Yeah.
And I think that's the thing that a lot of people who play at a high level, whether they accept it or not, it becomes an intrinsic part of their being, personality, how they create value. It becomes so much about them. And then one day you're no longer that person.
Yeah.
And you have to start that whole process again.
Yeah, well, the athlete dies twice.
Yeah.
That's the idea.
I thought I was dealing with my physical mortality at 35. I was there, now I'm 45, and I hurt my knee on a trampoline with my kids. I was like, oh no, this is body starting to creak stuff.
Yeah, I know. Listen, I'm with you on that front. But Agassi at points, I remember reading, he hated tennis. He hated the sport. He hated training. He hated his dad for making him play. Did you get to that point?
No.
Or was it more just you just kind of slightly ambivalent maybe about continuing?
Yeah, you kind of take it for granted.
Yeah, okay.
A little bit. And there's a mundanity to life, and getting up the same day, doing your band stretching against a wall, you know, eating the same dinner every day, eating the same breakfast every day. It's the same thing. And there was no, you're probably no closer to success than you were 5 years ago. So something has to change. And yeah, it happens for like, listen, I don't think that's unique to sport. But there, I think there can be something that you take for granted in it. But I think I suppose I read into that, and the never really understood. You know, he said he vehemently hated the tennis, but yet never stopped.
Yeah.
So there is a juxtaposition there that I always kind of felt that drove him on a little bit as well. And success was the overriding piece. But, you know, you look at, say, Michael Jordan and things that he created, his own narratives to drive success. I think a lot of high performance athletes will find a rationale that suits to... Now, I don't doubt that he looks back on that and go, wish I had a better relationship with his father.
Yeah.
But ultimately, it was something that drove him.
Is there or was there a reluctance to acknowledge the kind of the shortcomings, in terms of your relationship with the sport while it was happening? Because, well, I just wonder how conscious were you that people from the outside looking in would have an attitude of, what has Gordon got to complain about? Sure, doesn't he have the life that we all wish we had, kind of getting paid
completely
to play sport?
But, like, one of the things I've learned since I finished playing rugby is just don't compare yourself to other people's, to see what's... looking in at other people's lives and judging you by that is a fool's errand. And yeah, absolutely. People could look at the life of a professional athlete and just go... why they're getting paid well, they get to be outside, there's so many things possible for that, but ultimately, like, why do you do that as an athlete? You do that to win. Like, you're not doing it for shits and giggles, excuse my language. The reason, you have to have that same reason, that drive, that passion, get up every day, or you just become that, you know, that employee for whoever that is, that's just dead behind the eyes and just going through the motions. And then that squad, that organization has no chance of success. And for me, lots of people who were very influential in my life, not lots of them, but like a couple of people that I trusted, and they kind of give you that feedback at various points in your... And same thing at this, I was definitely coasting. And I probably hadn't consciously realised that I was coasting, but subconsciously was definitely, it's almost that self-sabotaging piece, and one of the lads pulling me aside and just going, you know, you're taking the piss now, this isn't good enough, this isn't what we expect. And that was a great, you know, a wake up for me, and then injuries and all those things, and then you just get, I don't know, whatever that might be, the appreciation for what you have. And and I think that's part of the, you know, even with, you know, Agassi's journey and everything, was coming back around. Well, all those testing moments and, you know, the injuries and, you know, the dabbling with drugs and all that kind of thing, but ultimately came back around and found balance, found peace and found happiness. And, you know, I think there's a lot of lessons in that as well, because for a guy who hated the sport as well, he finished in a relatively healthy space, mindset wise. And I think that can be a big challenge for an awful lot of athletes, actually finishing the sport and being able to shake hands, walk away from it. Okay, that it doesn't owe you anything, or you don't feel you've left a part of your identity there. I think that's something that's really important for sports people.
Yeah, it's a brilliant book. So it's well chosen. The opening and the scene, as it were, you know, in the shower, and just the pain. It's just incredible. It sucks you right in. Did you read Conor Nyland's book, Racket?
I was given it by somebody, and it is sitting under a glass table.
Okay, taunting you.
Every time I look at it, I either get asked for food, I do something by
walk
somebody.
Walk the dog, do something like that.
There's more triggering for anyone else in your family is a dad sitting down to read a book.
Yeah, that is true. Anyway, I'd recommend it. It's brilliant. What are you reading at the moment?
Nothing. Insurance books.
Insurance books, class. Well, let's not dwell on insurance textbooks. Let's talk about your own book. So, you know, people would be familiar with the Gordon's Game series and Blue Thunder and the, was it Lion's Roar? And this is the latest, but it's not Gordon's Games. This is Let's Play Rugby. I'll let you tell me about it, the concept.
Yeah, so same as yourself, have kids who've got, and you go through the various, we were just saying, I walked in here with one of the investigator books here. And
yeah, we're kids, at that age,
your
yeah.
Kids go through the different life cycle of books. You go from your, you know, first words, picture books, into, you know, the Julie Dawes and all those kind of things. And one of the things I noticed when I was with my kids was, for girls, it's either fairies and unicorns. Boys, it's usually dinosaurs and space stuff.
Yeah.
And wasn't much in the sports. And I kind of said, do you know what? This could be quite interesting if we were able to start a kind of interactive book for sport. And we start with rugby for that kind of 4 to 6 year olds. And that's kind of where the idea came from. And thankfully, the guys in Little Island liked it, and Paul Howard came on board as well to get it out. So yeah, it just basically brings kids right the way through the game of rugby, from the kickoff to warming up,
yeah,
kickoff, all the main, the lineouts, the tackle, the everything, and then they have the moment to either win or lose the match at the end of it. So it's just really just something fun, and I've 3 kids and various different ages, and they all just like having a bit of crack, and it's been pretty well received, and I think most people enjoy it. So
yeah,
hopefully we're going to get another one out for football, because I think the idea works across most sports.
Yeah.
And it's parents that buy for kids of that age.
Yeah.
So yeah.
You get one out on Christmas, let's play darts.
That's brilliant.
Listen, Let's Play Rugby is the name of the book, and it's lovely, really great illustrations, and it's all interactive, as Gordon says as well, so the kids will love it if they're of that age. Gordon Darcy, former Irish international, author as well, along with Paul Howard, of the Gordon's Game series, and now Let's Play Rugby. Gordon, thanks a million for joining us.
Thank you.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy,
with the MG Hybrid and Electric range,
weekdays from 4 on News Talk.